13th chapter of the book of Revelation, there are two beasts, and I have covered the first half of it. Beginning into the second half, we saw several programs ago how the second beast appears like a lamb. It arises out of multitudes of people. It has apparently many of the attributes of the first beast, which we identified as Imperial Rome or the Holy Roman Empire, the Roman Empire and all of its successive resurrections, and the end time coming final Roman Empire, if you want to call it that, but this time nuclear armed and in a space age context, probably called, though Bible prophecy does not say that specifically, a United States of Europe with 10 nations in Central Europe. Now, the second beast of Revelation 13 has two horns like a lamb, but it speaks as a dragon. It exercises all the power of the first beast and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast. And I went through state worship as it was embodied in Adolf Hitler and, of course, Emperor Hirohito. How it is that nations can become absolutely fanatical with devoted fanatical worship of a great Führer, a military dictator, or an emperor, a king, a leader that is both political and military, and at the same time could embody the spiritual head of the nation. That has happened down through history. It's happened in very recent history. It's happening again today. You wait and see what happens in Japan when the anti-American fervor really boils over and when diplomatic relations break down and when Japan begins to rearm rapidly. You wait and see. Now, primarily, this 13th chapter of Revelation is dealing with what's happening in Central Europe, however, and it mentions that there would be a great spiritual leader who would have the power to bring down fire from earth on heaven, or down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, rather, in verse 13 of the 13th chapter of Revelation. And I went through at least one program, maybe two, where I showed that people are looking for heavenly signs, they're looking for miracles, they're looking for piquant, unique phenomena, extraterrestrial, extraphysical, that cannot be explained by scientific means. And of course, to them, these are the credentials of prestige and, of course, of veracity. People will follow a magician, someone who can show them signs and wonders, and the Bible, of course, warns against it. If a religious leader were able to tell you, I'm going to do thus and such and bring it to pass so that you see something that is completely inexplicable, it's absolutely extra-physical, and you can't explain it by the laws of science, and you know that it's spiritual in nature, most people would follow that man, even though the Bible says not to do so, if his message is contrary to the Ten Commandments and the laws of God. Now, the message of this great creature that has miracles to do in the sight of those who are worshiping the beast says to them that dwell on the earth, verse 14, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. Now, that deadly wound, as I've explained in the past, was at the fall of Imperial Rome in 476 and its resurrection under Belisarius in 554. And you'll find that it lasted exactly 1,260 years, all the time to 1814 at the final fall of Napoleon. And I've covered that in the past. Now, going along in verse 14 and 15, it said he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Here again, a statement made that this is a great religio-political power that has the authority to put to death those that disagree with their religion. Now, what you're looking at here is a religious organization that has been organized and arranged along the lines of the ancient Roman Empire. It will have the collegia. It will have the diocese. It will have all the divisions that were the properties of the ancient Roman Empire as they began to grow. If you were to study the history of the development of the great universal church and to find how the metropolitans finally became patriarchs and then there were five of those and how actually it was warfare that decided between the two remaining ones at Constantinople and Rome, that finally it was the onslaught of the Islamic forces, the hordes of Islamic people from the various nations of the Middle East that swallowed up the area of European Turkey, and the Seljuk Turks eventually went all the way to the gates of Vienna and left only the so-called Great Patriarch of Rome. The idea, by the way, that there has been an unbroken line of popes from Peter, who allegedly was in Rome, is as false as any concept of false history could ever be. In the first place, Peter was never in Rome, and you can prove it. You can simply read the book of Romans in your Bible if you'd like. Here was the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Rome. And while he mentions about a dozen and a half different people, including Priscilla and Aquila and a lot of lay members, and says, salute everybody and tell Andronicus and all these people, my friends, hello, he never even mentions Peter. That's because Peter was not there. And history will prove me out as the Bible proves me out. But the point is that there was a gradual evolution brought about by warfare and political maneuvering and by the simple fact of attrition of the five great patriarchs, including Babylon, Alexandria, including Antioch in Syria, Constantinople, which now today is Istanbul, and of course Rome. And eventually the Pope at Rome was the one who remained. At one time, one period in history, there were two popes who were excommunicating each other.
You can read back and find out the real history of that because the books are there in your public libraries for people who want to do the real research to find out. But here's a great universal church organization with a college, or the collegia, of cardinals, arranged and ordered, organized like a political system, like a state within a state. The Vatican, of course, is a state. And the Pope, in that sense, is a head of state as much as he is the head of a church. They have emissaries, ambassadors, and envoys at the ambassadorial level that are sent to world capitals all over the world. Now just read all the way back through the last few verses of the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation, where you see the language about the mark of the beast, the image of the beast, and the number of the beast. People continually come up with favorite theories about what is this mark of the beast. I mean, people are looking for things on cereal boxes. Today, a lot of people are beginning to think just because the scanner system has been invented, where people can put a series of little dashes on a can, a bottle, or a carton, or a box, and they can run it over a scanner, which is a computerized method of keeping track of inventory and making sure people do not shoplift and that you pay for the items you take out of a supermarket. Do you know that some people actually think that is the mark of the beast? That's how weird some theories can become. There are those who toy with the meaning of the English alphabet. But let me tell you, English letters do not have numerical value. And I don't care how you go around in circles to try to assign numerical value to the English language, it just doesn't work. People come up with the name Kissinger. They come up with the name computer. And they say it adds up to 666. And there are all these theories. Well, you know, so many of these religious theories have been found to be blown into a cocked hat over the years that have gone past that I just quit biting on them a long, long time ago. I'm very cautious when it comes to swallowing the newest fad, the newest theory about what is the mark of the beast. But next time, I'm going to tell you as much as I can what it seems to mean, at least in the face of what we have in the Bible. I'm not going to be dealing with theory so much as I'm going to be dealing with what the Bible says. What is the mysterious mark of the beast? When it says in verse 16, he, that is this image of the beast, this religious system that is organized along the lines of the ancient Roman Empire, that is a political system, organized like a political organization, but it is a church. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, that is all classes of society, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Now, it doesn't say just the mark. It says the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And then it describes what is that number, and it is 666, or 666.